Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As you well know, when we come together for our period of worship, we study from the Bible. We conduct regular classes on Sunday morning where we study the Bible. There are classes on Wednesday evening where we study the Bible. We have vacation Bible school where all those who attend study the Bible. We have special gospel meetings so that we can study the Bible. There's literature made available and distributed to assist people in the study of the Bible. There be many groups of people that meet for a variety of purposes. There be many churches that meet who study a variety of subjects, a variety of sources, a variety of books. They will study a variety of religious codes and catechisms. They'll study all manner of subjects from economics to disarmament. Why do we study the Bible? I believe, dear people, we have to be motivated before we will find it in our hearts to do what the passage that I cited at the beginning tells us to do. That is, study the Bible. The things I want to bring to your attention tonight, I hope, at least are intended and designed to make you want to do what God says we must do. Too many people of this world, obviously, and unfortunately, too many people who even claim to be children of God, look upon that passage of Scripture that tells us to study as if it were something that's optional, that we can or we cannot with equal benefit. Whether we do or whether we don't, all will be well in God's sight with us. What is it about the Bible that would provoke us to study it? Now, in asking that question, there's not anything that I'm going to bring to your attention that's a radical new information. It will be more of a reminder of things that doubtless you have heard many times before. But we need to understand that though the Bible is one volume, composed of 66 books, it is really one story. It is one volume. It is one book. There are some 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. But it's one book with one primary theme, and that is God's way of saving man. One distinct emphasis throughout, and that's the proper relationship between God and man. The scheme of redemption, the system of salvation, God's plan for saving man by and through that central personality from beginning to end, and that is Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And everything that we study in this great book ultimately takes its source of benefit in the fact that Jesus is who He claimed to be. God utilized some 40 or more different writers from various walks of life. Some were rich, some were poor, some were in bondage, some were free, some were kings, some were shepherds, some were peasants, some were keepers of sycamore trees, various and sundry walks of life that God used to present to us the Scripture. Now, if I should ask you tonight, what is the greatest book in all the world? There's not a one of you but would readily, quickly respond, the Bible is the greatest book. But why? And here's why. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Now that passage goes on and tells us more, but for our study tonight, 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible is Scripture. The word Scripture means writing, but we're talking about a special writing. We're talking about the writing that is and that which we call the Bible, the book. It is God-breathed. That means it's unique, it's distinct, it's different, above and beyond everything else that men could possibly read. That's why we study the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us through His Son. Notice, that passage says, God has spoken. It tells the one through whom He speaks to us now, even though He spoke in a number of ways and through a variety of means and people in times past, now the authority of God is revealed by and through Jesus Christ. And friend, before our Lord went back into heaven, having accomplished and fulfilled His purposes here upon this earth, He gathered His apostles together and He promised them that the Spirit of truth would come. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, would guide them into all the truth. That He would not speak of Himself, but He would speak whatsoever things He shall hear. He would glorify Christ, John 16:13. The apostles, guided by the Holy Spirit, went forward preaching the authority of Jesus Christ, speaking, God speaking through Christ, Christ and the Holy Spirit guiding these apostles, revealed unto us what God has spoken, and by God's providence and by God's provision, that which they spoke is now embodied in that which Paul says is the all-inspired Scripture. That's the Bible. Why study the Bible? That's the way that God has decided to speak to me and to speak to you. Not some still strange experience, not some still small voice, not something better felt than told. God speaks, but through the Bible. That's why we study the Bible. You hear sometimes people say the Bible contains the Word of God. It does. But it's more than that, friend. It's more than that. Let's understand, it's more than just containing the Word of God. Our sermons should contain the Word of God. But the Bible is the very Word of God. It is verbally inspired. These writers spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance, and they used words that the Holy Spirit teacheth. Therefore, it's God's selection from the vocabularies of these men that He chose and composed the Bible. We should study the Bible because we can study it without any doubt in our heart and mind. We can study it with full confidence. The Bible is without mistake. It is inerrant. It is infallible. God would not produce anything other than that. Even though there be skeptics who would like to brainwash people into thinking there are contradictions in the Bible, that's not so. That effort has been made by servants of the devil down through the years to show that the Bible contradicts itself, but God does not contradict Himself. There are no contradictions in the Bible when you rightly divide the Word of truth. And even though the Bible is not a geography book, there's no geographical error in it. Even though it's not a scientific book, there's no scientific error in it. And even though men down through the years have done everything that they could to physically and spiritually destroy the message of the Bible, it is indestructible. It will be indestructible. It will endure after this world has ceased to exist. The Bible is not primarily a history book, though it just overruns with historical information, but it's always accurate in its historical information. Everything that the Bible tells us, it tells us truthfully. Now you'll notice I didn't say everything in the Bible is true, because sometimes the Bible truthfully reports the lies that evil men and servants of the devil have said and propagated. But everything the Bible reports, it reports truthfully as well as giving us God's truth. You see, friend, the Apostle Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, Paul's right here. What does he mean? He is telling us what the Scripture isn't. The Bible tells us what the Scripture is, inspired of God, but here he's telling us what it isn't. It is not, as some erroneously claim, God in some way told man his will, and this man in some way put his meaning to it, and whatever he thought God meant, and he interpreted what he thought God meant, and then he wrote it down. That is not what the Scripture is. The Word of God has not been given through some kind of sieve of human understanding. There were men that participated in the unfolding of God's scheme of redemption. There were men that presented to us, and God used to present to the Bible, that didn't even comprehend and fully understand all the things of which they were even writing. Well, how did it come, Peter? For the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man. Notice, friend, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's why we study the Bible. That cannot be said and is not said of any other writing on the face of this earth. But everything in the Bible has come that way. Over 2,000 times in that one volume, the Bible, you have such phrases as "thus saith the Lord" or the equivalent of it, to show to us as we read that we're reading not some man's commentary, not some man's ideology of his own creation. We are reading the Word of God, and those that wrote as they were guided by deity to so write. You cannot remove God's hand from the Bible, because God's hand is the one that saw to it that it was written. But another reason for studying the Bible, I think we see in the time when Jesus, after his baptism, was in the wilderness and was tempted of the devil. And the devil would tempt him first this way, that way, and the other way. We'll not go into the details of that temptation except the way that the Lord responded to temptation. And he also added, by the use of the word, he blunted the temptations of the devil. And he said, man shall not live by bread alone. Our society doesn't believe that. Our society thinks that we're going to live so long as we can have economic prosperity. There were some fools in Laodicea that thought one time, because they were materially prosperous, that all was well with their soul. There was a man that the Lord said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, who thought because he had prosperity he would live. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. Matthew 4, verses 3 and 4. You simply cannot live your life successfully, friend, hear me now, unless you study and know your Bible. You're not going to have the joy that the Lord would like for us to have in this life unless you study the Bible. You're not going to have the kind of home you ought to have unless you study your Bible. You're not going to have the happiness that's open and there for you unless you study the Bible. You need not expect that peace and contentment that can come to the soul of man unless you study the Bible. You cannot live and fulfill your mission in life unless you study your Bible. And then sometimes people seem to think that it's an optional thing whether you do or not. Let me just reason with you. Let's suppose you went to a doctor. And all of us have to at some time or another, and thank God that they are available. And the doctor told you, you are on your way because of this malady to death. And then after that seeps in a little bit, he tells you, but there is a way to live. Well, you say, well, I'll talk about that sometime. We'll get back together and we'll talk about it. No, you'd want to, how is it now? I have a malady that leading me to death, but there is that which is available will help me live. What is it? It really wouldn't make much difference what he told you to do. You would do it. But if he told you, now if you will eat this kind of food, even if it was broccoli or cauliflower or spinach or whatsoever, and all of those things I like, all good people like those things, or they mature and learn to like all those things. I feel sorry for people who don't like much of anything. But he says, now, if you'll eat your food, you will live. You couldn't get out of that office fast enough to get to the store or wherever and secure it and start consuming it just as was directed, because you want to live. Let me tell you, folks, that's a trivial illustration, but it drives home the point. Spiritually, we will die of our malady of sin, but there's a way to live. There's a way to live rightfully, prosperously, beneficially in this life, and to live eternally. And that's by partaking of the proper food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's why we study the Bible. We want spiritual life. Search the Scriptures, Jesus said, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they were right about that thinking. That's how we have eternal life. That is the food. But cannot you see we study the Bible as we quoted at the very start? Because it is a divine command. It's not something optional, I keep emphasizing to you. It's not something you can put on a back shelf and I'll get to later on sometime when it's convenient. Here is a command, just as surely as the Lord said to be baptized. Here is the command, study, give diligence to show thyself approved unto God. Don't you want to be approved unto God? That's right. Well, you've got to do that which is necessary to be approved. What is that recall for? Study. This is a command. You can do one of two things with a command. You either obey it or you disobey it. And do you think God's going to smile upon you if you disobey it? Surely you want to be a workman for God. You see, dear friend, we are also commanded to grow spiritually. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. How do we grow? Well, the Apostle Peter used the illustration about a babe partaking of the sincere milk. A babe in Christ partakes of the sincere milk of the Word. That's how we grow. I mentioned to you, I think, wasn't it this morning, that when a baby is hungry, he desires food and he eats so that he can grow. In fact, if a baby's hungry enough, everybody's going to know it and he's going to keep on until he gets what he needs. Dear friend, if we want to obey God's command to grow, we're going to have to consume that which God has provided that will enable us to grow. No wonder some people have even been baptized and lived in the Lord, so to speak, for years, and they're spiritual pygmies. Why? They have taken this idea that the study of the Word of God is something they can do or not do, as if it was something that's optional. Now, if you don't have a time and a schedule and a plan for study, these things I'm mentioning to you tonight ought to be enough to motivate those who really love the Lord to start doing it. It's the Word of God. It's inspired of God. It enables us to have spiritual life. It is a command. And the psalmist said in that Psalm 119, just a few verses following from what was read to us tonight, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You don't have to just mar and ruin your life. You can prevent and avoid a lot of the pitfalls. How? By a knowledge of the Word of God. Friend, let's understand something. When the inspired writer wrote the book of Hebrews, he was writing to certain first century Christians, and he said, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." There comes a time, friend, when we must get beyond spiritual pablum. And to be able to dig deeply into the Word of God, God expects that of you. There comes a time, though we never come to the point where we know everything and learn everything, you need to be able to teach another. Not always have to be taught even the basic, elementary, rudimentary things of the gospel of Christ. But it's been my experience, unfortunately, to encounter some people that's been a member of the church for many years, and they could not explain to their neighbor if they were asked, what is God's plan of salvation? Now, there's no excuse for that. And God will hold you guilty for your neglect of that, brethren. He's given us His Word. He expects us to come to a knowledge of it. We can help one another. We can teach one another. But God expects us to put forth the effort. And He went on to say, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." But now notice, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age." That is, mature. You've grown up in Christ now. "Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." How do you grow? Proper food, proper exercise. That's the way you grow physically, isn't it? That's what your children do. You see to it that they have proper food. You see to it that they exercise. And most little children get a lot of exercise, but you make sure that they get the right kind of exercise. You don't let them just sit in front of the TV all day long eating potato chips. Because you know that that is not good for their growth. You want them to eat good food and get outside and romp and stomp and play and exercise right, so they'll grow properly. It takes the proper food and the proper exercise, putting into practice the things that you learn in order to mature as a Christian. That should be the goal of the life of every baptized believer. That's why we study the Bible. In Psalm 119, verse 130, it says, "The opening of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." In verse 105, he says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." This little verse expresses the idea. Listen to it. "O Lord, we know not how to go, unless thy word the way doth show. We know not how we ought to live, unless the path thy word doth give." You see, friend, it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. You try to live this life without a knowledge of the word of God, you're going to make a mess of it. And that's the reason a lot of people have already made a mess a lot of their lives. They haven't paid any attention to the Word of God. Why? Because they didn't know what it said. Why? Because they wouldn't do what the passage says. Study. Ignorance is no excuse. We have it. You have the intelligence to make a living. You have an intelligence to go through school. You have an intelligence to conduct yourself in society. You have the intelligence to know what God wants you to do. There's only one reason we don't. We don't put forth the right kind of effort. Now, that's not true of everybody, but whoever it might be true, well, let's pay attention to this. You see, the Bible reveals to us our duty before God. There's no other book, no other place to which you can turn and find out what God expects, what God wants. I don't know about you, but when I was going to school, if there was some way, legitimately, that I could find out what was going to be on the final exam, I'd want to know about it, wouldn't you? Sometimes you'd have a teacher. Of course, he wouldn't always live up to what he said. You got teachers like that. But sometimes he would say, "Now here's a set of 300 questions, and the final exam will come from those 300 questions. I'm not going to tell you which ones, but it's going to come from those questions. You can count on it. This will be the final thing in your whole grade, your whole quarter's work. It'll come from these 300 questions. Here it is in advance. Good luck." Would you throw them aside? Why, you would do everything that you could to know the right answer to all 300 of those questions, so that when you came to the final exam, you would have already been adequately prepared. God has already given us, if you please, the 300 questions. I'm not suggesting you'll ask 300 questions, but to use the illustration, He's already given us what He's going to use to judge us. John 12:48, Jesus already tells us we're going to be judged by His Word. Where are you going to find His Word? Here it is. You've got a copy of it. It's in your home. You've got more than one. You can know what's going to be required at the time of judgment. You can know when we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ what it is by which we're going to be measured and weighed. You'll know what the standard is. And that won't be a time, brethren, that we're going to be able to say, "God, have mercy on us. Well, that won't be a time of mercy. That'll be time of justice. Now is the time of mercy. God's having mercy on us now by telling us to study, come to know, so in your knowledge you can do, and in your doing you will be approved before God by the grace of God. But you needn't expect to ask for mercy on the day of judgment, because that's when God settles things justly. That's what judgment is for. Now is the day of God's mercy. We study the Bible because this is the book that not only shows us how to live here and now, it shows us the way to heaven. You see, it prepares us for death. And you're not prepared to die until you're first prepared to live. And you can't be prepared to live without a knowledge of the Word of God. It prepares us for death. It prepares us for the resurrection and the judgment. It prepares us for a happy eternity. Now, there'll be an eternity whether we want it or whether we won't. But it can prepare us for a happy eternity. And every single one of us in this audience will someday leave the walks of this life, and the Bible tells us how to be ready for the crossing of the valley of death. And relatively speaking, it matters not when or where or how we die. Those things are of concern to us. That's not what matters. It's whether or not we're prepared and whether or not we are ready. You know, in Revelation 14:13, the writer said, "Blessed are the dead." Who are the blessed dead? Blessed are the dead who die. Notice now, not just any dead are blessed. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Those who die in Christ. Friend, you can't die in Christ if you haven't lived in Christ. And you can't live in Christ until you come to Christ. And you won't know how to live in Christ without a study of the Bible. You won't even know how to come to Christ without a study of the Bible. How in the world, therefore, could you expect to be blessed in your death and at your death and after your death? How can you expect to ever be in the Lord? You see, the time of judgment is when the books are going to be opened. And this is one of them. The book of the record of your life will be another. We're going to be judged out of things written in those books. Therefore, dear friend, you must study your Bible. And these things that I've said to you tonight are designed to motivate you by reality, by biblical truth. Why study the Bible? I'll tell you the truth. And I don't say this to brag on our brethren. That is, in a flattering sort of way, thankful for our brethren. I wouldn't be a part of any religion on the face of the earth that didn't emphasize the study of the Bible and the Bible being our authority. What's the use of even trying to serve God if you don't pay any attention to what He says? Now, sometimes some in the church seem to think that they can serve God and not pay any attention to what He says, but you can't. I am so grateful and thankful to be a part of a company of people who respect the Bible to be the Word of God. By the way, I'm just real happy. Look at that bottom figure. It is one on the bottom, isn't it? 202, isn't that on the bottom? That's one of the few times we've been over 200 on Wednesday night, but I'll tell you, that's good. Now, it could be all. Whale of a sight better. But that's better than it has been. And when you're going in the right direction, that's encouraging. You know what that reflects? An interest in the study of the Bible. I wish more of us had that same interest. And possibly we will. And we'll continue to encourage one another. Do everything that we can. Why? Because, my dear friend, the Bible is the Word of God. That's why. And if we want to be children of God and be pleasing to God, we're going to want to know the Word of God. Now, you know every bit of that's true. Every bit of it. I doubt that there's a one of you that would take issue with a thing I've said tonight. Verbally. No, you wouldn't stand up and say, "Oh, you probably won't even meet me afterwards. Please don't meet me up." That's not true. You wouldn't say that because you believe it's true. But what good does it do to believe it if you don't put it into practice? Now that's something that everybody has to do for themselves, isn't it? We learn how to become a Christian from the Word of God. If you don't, we'll repent of your sins. We'll confess your faith in Him and be baptized into Christ. Then you rise from that watery grave, a member of His body, the church, a citizen in His kingdom, one of the redeemed, washed clean by His precious blood. And one of the things that God expects of you, my dear hearer, is to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.